Welcome to Postcast tonight, where the Utah Jazz fall to the Los Angeles Lakers. The 7-game win streak is gone, and the Jazz don't get their 50th win, and they probably eliminate any chance of getting home court advantage. And in some weird way, it might actually not be that bad. What? The West has gone nuts tonight. We'll try to explain it, but also figure out what happened to the Jazz. It's all coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 6th South and 20th East. Stop on by. I was there the other day. Picked up a little kombucha and some other fun stuff. Check it all out. June pies come in on Fridays for you with all sorts of meat pies and those, plus all the regular pies throughout the week, all there at The Store. So, Ron, there's a lot of different weird things to talk about tonight, but the bottom line is the Jazz still with a chance for home court advantage had they won tonight. If Portland were to lose one of their finals, Denver intentionally loses tonight to the Portland Trailblazers in Portland. We'll talk about the impact of that. But the Jazz, they have this game seemingly. By the second quarter, they outscore them by 12. They're up by, I think, 6 or 7 at the half. They come out very sloppy to open the third quarter, and the Lakers gain control of the game, and the Jazz never regain control of the game.
Well, they outscored the Jazz 27-24 in that third period after, and there was a stretch there where it was like a 12-0 run there by the Los Angeles Lakers. Caldwell Pope just couldn't put a stop to him. He was running the same play over and over and over and really coming up with something special. JaVale McGee had a very good basketball game, but that surprised me that the Jazz were not able to regain control of the ball game with Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert on the floor at the same time. I mean, regardless of who those other two guys are, you expect the Jazz to be able to outplay the Lakers with those three guys on the floor.
With 10:24 left in the game, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell check back in. Crowder promptly hits a jump shot that was supposed to be a three, but he had his foot on the line. So it's 89-87 with 10 minutes left, and you really would have thought at that point that the Jazz would have gained control of this game and done what you would have thought they'd do, which is win it.
Well, they were, in that second quarter anyway, was getting some threes. I mean, first quarter, couldn't make a three. Second quarter, they start knocking down some threes and start playing Jazz basketball to the point where they had uncontested three-point shots. And it seemed like that went away there in the third. The perimeter defense switching all over the floor there for the Los Angeles Lakers caused the Jazz some problems. And all of a sudden, they start breaking the paint and stop getting into the paint and making some other things happen that to the point where they can get those good looks. Sometimes the Jazz go away from that, and it really hurts them. And this is something I thought they wanted to make sure that they avoid it, regardless of who they're playing.
What was strange about this night to me was that the Jazz was how much trouble the Lakers gave the Jazz offense. The Jazz were driving the lane, and the Lakers had brought another guy over into the drive. So driving, it was a combination of things. One, they were switching everything defensively, which took away the Jazz pick and roll game. Second thing was that when the Jazz drove, another guy had come in, and the Jazz never set the pick, there was no switch, the other guy never leaves Rudy, so then Rudy's not available for the lob. And I guess the answer to that was getting corner threes. The Jazz got 16 of them. I think they may have only hit one of them in the second half of this game. The Lakers had a defensive scheme, frankly, that we haven't seen before, and the Jazz never seemed to get an answer for.
Well, we knew that second unit, they were going to switch 1 through 5 because with McGee on the bench, then that's something they would do, and they looked like they were very good at it. But the key to that, David, and they've seen that before where teams switch 1 through 5, you have to be able to break the defense down and force them to do something else. And this is where Rubio would come in, and where he was able to break the defense down, get into the lane. Now you're passing the basketball. And what I saw earlier in the ball game looked like the Lakers were trying to take away that corner three, but the Jazz were still able to get some of those shots.
Jazz got 9 corner threes in the first half, 7 in the second half, but they were certainly more contested in the second half.
Yeah, and that's the difference. And I think you touched on it quite a bit tonight, how quickly – And they closed out on shooters. And some guys like Tabo, Royce O'Neal has gotten better at it. Joe Ingles has gotten better at it, of being able to catch and shoot the basketball very quickly. But Tabo's one that, you know, it takes time to set up. And when you're closing out, You know, sometimes he just can't get that three off because he's not one that gets his shot off quickly.
And the Jazz never got the defensive clamps down at all tonight. They had a defensive rating at halftime, at the end of the first quarter, of 140, in the second half at 115, and by the end of the game, it was back up to 118. So that was not a good defensive outing by the Jazz at all, and it cost them the game. So this is a disappointing loss if you wanted to get home court advantage. Now we're into this weird situation because Denver intentionally lost tonight. Now, it's a risky move by Denver because if we beat Denver on Tuesday night, Denver and Houston wins out, then Denver has a chance of sliding to three after purposely losing tonight to Portland. They didn't play Jokic, they didn't play Millsap, they didn't play Murray. That was one thing. They took a lead in the fourth quarter, and then they took out Morris, Barton, Gary Harris, the guys who were playing well, and closed the game with Trey Lyles and Juan Hernan Gomez and Isaiah Thomas, guys who just haven't played in weeks for them.
Trey Lyles.
So it was clear that's their effort. The reason they would do that is the possibility that Portland wins out and Houston loses another game. Then Houston could slide to four, and Denver doesn't have to play Houston, who they don't deal with very well. Houston is certainly going to try to win out now because they don't want to play Golden State in the second round. They want to beat two or three. If we were to beat Denver and Houston wins out, Houston's the two seed, Denver's the three seed. So that was a really big risk. The flip side of this is we don't want to play Houston probably. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm assuming we don't want to play Houston. I don't know why we really want to play Portland. They've been winning, but if we don't want to play Houston, we lose to Denver intentionally on Tuesday. Wait to see the outcome of the Houston-Oklahoma City game. If Oklahoma City loses, we're in five anyway. Houston wins there in three, and we're playing Portland 4-5.
You just fried my brain.
I know. If for some reason Oklahoma City wins that game, Houston would be could slide to four. We would want to be six, possibly, and if Oklahoma City wins the final night against Milwaukee, who could be resting, then we could go into the final night choosing our playoff position. So there's a weird thing here where we don't have much incentive to go win on Tuesday night against Denver.
So it's not enough just to make the playoffs and win basketball games and be happy about making the playoffs regardless of who you're playing. Now you're trying to set yourself up to get to the second round and not meet certain teams in the second round. Houston trying not to meet Golden State in the second round made me want to meet them in the Western Conference Finals. And the bottom line is you have to go out and just win basketball games some kind of way. And I think let it fall where it may. Don't be afraid of anyone. You have a good, very good basketball team, and why does everyone want to play Portland? The star center is out. McCullen, have to see what he did tonight, but tonight was going to be one of his first games back. So I would imagine that was the reason that some teams wanted to play Portland, because of their two of their main guys being out.
I think this is the best point you make here. If Denver was really a championship caliber team, then they are worrying about things that they shouldn't be, that championship caliber teams don't worry about.
Exactly. So that tells me that, yes, they're good. We're good. We're awfully good. But, you know, if we want to get to the Western Conference Finals, then we need to avoid this team. But, David, just think about that. There are certain teams in the NBA that just gives you problems.
Right.
You know. And
Houston's
blown their doors off. Exactly. So, you know, they just don't want to meet them in that second round.
All right, interesting, weird night in the NBA, but the fact is that the Jazz lose a chance at home court advantage in all likelihood with a loss tonight to the Los Angeles Lakers. Though, if Portland wins out, which they have to win in this building, and they have to beat Sacramento, at this point now they would have to lose both.
You ever wonder why so many injuries this time of year? I mean, look at the Jazz. They have three guys out. Lakers have some guys out. I mean, it boggles my mind.
Well, there's no reason to rush a guy back to play the 80th game of the year.
Yeah, that's true. But my feeling and my thinking is, you know, what kind of injuries do you have?
Jazz lose tonight. And that's a long show. Hope you enjoyed it.